As we mentioned early this morning, Andy taking the day off in his place will be our friend Luke Panic, the deck and port specialist from Linda's Construction. He wears more hats than that, I can assure you. Luke, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Denny?
I'm doing quite well. Hope you are the same, and good to have you back on the radio. I was thinking earlier this morning when I was introducing folks that you'd be on today, I was wondering how many in your lifetime, and we talk about the deck corner of your world, how many decks have you been involved in, either cleaning, building, tearing down? Have you ever compiled a number?
Not an exact number, but it's well over 1,000. I know that prior to my working at Lindus for about 10 years, I ran a deck and porch building company. So that's where we did just decks and porches. So, and at Lindus, of course, we do a lot more than that, but it's a lot. It's a lot. I don't really know the exact number.
A lot. And what have you, what changed? What do you see the biggest changes? Certainly the low maintenance stuff, but what have been the biggest changes in decks?
I would say really the way that we think about supporting the decks, meaning the structure that keeps it all level through the framing, has all changed quite a bit. Back in the beginning, for me at least, in the early 2000s, we built decks out of just traditional pressure treated pine, and we drilled holes and put sonotubes in the ground and filled the tubes with concrete, did the traditional footings, and that's all gone away. We don't use either one of those practices anymore. So that's the biggest thing, I think, the way that we build the structure so that it withstands our climate and the soil, freezing and thawing, all that, I think, is the biggest change.
What about the substructure over the various shows that we've done? Instead of wood, there are metal applications now. Tell me about those.
Yeah, there's two systems that we've used. We've framed quite a few decks out of steel joists, steel beams, steel posts, and they're beautiful. It gives you less limitations. You can span further distances and have a more attractive frame. Of course, it doesn't grow mold and have drips and algae grow on it. Also, a newer technology that TimberTech has come out with is aluminum framing, which we're excited about that. We have just started proposing this to a few customers here and there to try it and use it. But we like the idea of the aluminum frame, a little bit easier to work with than steel, because it's a softer metal, of course, and you don't have the issue of metal. What we notice with the steel framing is the little metal shavings that we create through drilling pilot holes and things can create rust stains, because when you drill the hole, you're getting through to the raw metal. And with aluminum, you don't have that. Of course, there's no rust involved with it. So we're excited about that technology. I think eventually a majority of the decks will be done with some sort of synthetic or aluminum frame.
Wow, what a big changes. Again, yeah. If you have any question, home improvement type or specifically decks, porches, this is your day today. 651-461-9226. Really any kind of home improvement question, because as most folks who listen to the show know, that Luke, you did grow up in the construction business, so we can field any home improvement question. How about railing systems now on decks? You've seen changes there for sure.
Yeah, for years it was, the first change that came along was, instead of building a whole railing out of wood, we said, hey, it's really a pain in the neck to stain all these wood balusters. So we started drill in holes for metal balusters. And so we integrated metal balusters into a wood top and bottom rail and a wood post. And that worked great for a while, but then when the wood started to swell, expand and contract, move around, and the balusters would oftentimes get loose. So that kind of went away, and then kind of moved into integrating, instead of the wood, using composite top and bottom rails and composite posts with metal balusters. And you can still get those today, but they have kind of the same issues. The tolerances around the balusters has to be there in order to put them together, and then they kind of wiggle and jiggle, and in my opinion, aren't great systems. So now we primarily, most popular rail system is to use a completely aluminum. There's a couple of good manufacturers that make railing systems all out of aluminum. They're nice in contrast. I believe we do the most popular color is to do a black railing, and I think that's it provides a nice contrast in the color of the deck and the house, and it also provides you with the best view. You can see through a black railing better than any color. The opposite would be white. You put up a white railing, but your eye sees the white and it has struggles to see through it, whereas with a black railing, your eyes want to see what's beyond it. So that's for sure our most common and requested rail system is all black.
I know in past shows, talking with Andy, too, as well as you, Luke, we've talked about glass on railing, on the railing systems. Tell us about that, and is that popular at all?
It is in very specific applications. Lakes, golf courses, things like that, people might want to integrate a few panels of glass. And, of course, that gives you, it's just like a window. The downsides to it are it gets dirty. And when glass gets dirty, just like your window, you need to clean it. So it's a little more maintenance involved with it, and it restricts airflow. So if you have an area where it's important to have, if you like having the breeze come through, it's kind of a wind block. So that would be the downsides. But when you're sitting in your house, looking out at the lake and you want to see the lake, having some glass panels out there can be the best way for sure.
All right. I'm going to take a break here, but just a brief one. We'll invite our listeners to join in too, as usual. 651-461-9226. I'm looking at a text. You can think about this during the break. Texter wants to know, what is your experience and opinion of this decking material sold at big box stores? You can think about that. We come back, we'll talk. And again, any kind of home improvement question for Luke Panic, filling in for Andy today. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we move to 49 degrees. We are on our way to near 67. Going to be a nice day. Lots of sunshine, maybe some showers tomorrow, but highs even a little warmer, around 71, but a windy Sunday. Stay with us right now, 49 from News Talk A3O WCCO. Welcome back to your home improvement show. Thanks to Linda's Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. We are here every Saturday, have been for years, in the 9 o'clock hour. Welcoming your home improvement questions today for Luke Panic, the deck and porch specialist at Linda's Construction. Any kind of home improvement question will do at 651-461-9226. Luke, before the break, a texter wanted your opinion on the materials. Specifically, decking sold at big box stores. I guess they want to know, is it any good? What's your opinion?
Well, there's a lot of good products that can be bought at big box stores. We're not talking, I guess, about a specific box store, I guess. But what I would say is when I look and I'm at these stores, I look for products with the least amount of exposed sawdust. So some of these composites contain a certain amount of sawdust that is mixed in with the PVC. And what we've learned over the years is the more sawdust in there, the more expansion and contraction and movement that we'll have, and the more mold and mildew. So anytime that composite has sawdust that is exposed, it tends to want to grow mold and mildew. Some manufacturers will coat the board polyethylene, which is just a heavy kind of rubbery type coating. And when it's coated, some manufacturers just coat the surface, some coat the underside as well. So I like to see products, if it does have the sawdust mixed into it, that it's coated all the way around the board. Makes it easier to clean. It doesn't grow the mold and mildew so much. I've been on decks that are closer to the ground where that exposed sawdust, you can actually smell the mildew and mold growing underneath the side of it. So it's important to take a look at that characteristic. Also, I look at the way that they're fastened. I prefer to use systems that have a screw that go through the board over time. That has proven to be the best way to fasten them down. When they have clips and other types of systems, they work okay, but you see more movement in the way that they slide and move back and forth over the deck joist. So those are the key elements that I look for. not brand specific, but those are the elements that I look for in a deck board.
Very good. Let's grab some phone calls this morning, Luke. First up, Frank calling in from Bloomington, I believe. Thank you, Frank. What is your question for Luke?
Yeah, I have an outside deck, and every winter I always cover it with a canvas and put weights on the canvas so it don't blow away and stuff. Is that good or bad?
Well, what kind of deck do you have, Frank?
It's just a wooden deck. I don't know, just wooden deck. I stain it every 3-4 years, and that's it, you know. It's an outside deck.
Yeah, sure. I don't see any harm with canvas. I have known when people put down like plastic or rubber, those can leave stains or leave marks. I don't see an issue with putting canvas on there just to kind of cover it and keep debris off it. I just see no harm in that.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, Frank, very good. Dave is calling in from Laberton, Minnesota this morning, I do believe. Dave, thank you. What is your question for Luke?
I don't have a decking question, but I do have another question. Is that something you can handle?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I've got an old Victorian home, and our problem is in the basement, and that is that the what appears to be a poured concrete floor is cracking. I mean, absolutely everywhere cracking, but I've noticed in the last 2 years a volcano-like cone coming up in the middle of my basement floor, and I was wondering what on earth is going on. It's about 2 inches tall, and it's in a cone shape right in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, I would guess, Dave, that we're dealing with moisture. Cracks in concrete movement is generally, almost always, in connection to moisture and ground moisture. So I would first look at how to control the water around the house with a good gutter system to get the water away from the foundation.
I've done that.
Yeah, that's a good thing. The other thing is we got to ask ourselves, how the heck is that moisture getting there? There are below-grade water sources as well. You could take a look at putting in a drain tile system in the basement. Do you have drain tile in your basement?
No, I do. Yes, I do. section of the basement.
Okay. So I would take a look at that. There are basement experts that could come out and evaluate that to identify specifically what's happening, more so than just me guessing. But I would, for sure, almost all these cases, it's a moisture problem that's causing. Otherwise, nothing. You know, there's nothing under the ground there that's going to cause concrete to crack and move other than moisture. So it's what I would do is I'd take a good hard look at looking at a system where you completely go all the way around the interior of the basement to manage the water and get it out of there. That concrete isn't going to move or boil. I know that.
Right, right. Well, the basement itself is bone dry. But this cone formation in the middle of my floor, a little disturbing. Wonder I got Mount Vesuvius erupting under here.
Well, maybe you're on an oil well there. I don't know.
Yeah. Not a Lamberton.
If you get that handled, you can pour a floor, a patch floor, and that should stop. Basement floors should have only hairline cracks. There shouldn't be big shifting movement in the basement floor because it doesn't go through the freeze and thaw that our outside slabs do. So you shouldn't see that in a basement floor.
Okay. Well, I thought that was odd.
Yeah.
Okay, so it could be nothing but water then.
Nothing but water, yep.
I haven't got an oak tree coming up in my basement.
Well, I don't think so, but
I think Dave and might be well served, Luke, by getting in touch with Safe Basements and see if they come out to the Lamberton area. That's worth a shot anyway. SafeBasements.com, Dave, and they're good people, and they can at least give you analysis, if indeed they work in that particular area, and I think they do. So check it out, safebasements.com. Thank you, Dave. Let's see. If you want to call in your question for Luke, that's great. Otherwise, just send a text like other folks are doing, 651-461-9226. Both phone call and text. Here is a text to Luke. Will applying an oil-based stain to all sides of a cedar 1x4s keep my new fence looking good for years to come?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing. I don't know that it needs to be oil-based. It's trickier to work with, tougher to work with than a lot of the acrylics that are available. So I would choose to use an acrylic stain. There are some old-school thoughts out there that the oil-based is better. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just more of a hassle to use, cleaning your brushes and things like that. There are good acrylics out there. But oil-based products are known for great penetration, adhering and soaking into the wood. So that is a good thing to do. And I think the biggest thing, especially with cedar, is staying on top of it and making sure that you get the ends of the boards. Cedar wants to wick moisture under a microscope. It's like a bunch of straws, and it wants to wick moisture in the ends. So getting a good coat on the ends of the boards, the top and the bottom, is really important, and then just doing it regularly. So washing it off and putting a coat on it every couple of years is it's a labor of love, but fences can look great. If they don't, you know, it doesn't take long for that to turn gray and weather quickly. So it just requires a little bit extra work.
Kind of brightener conditioner action, just like a deck, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. That works great.
All right. Another phone call. Michael checking in from White Bear Lake this morning. Thanks for calling, Michael. What is your question for Luke?
Good morning. Say, I installed an outdoor water faucet yesterday to a female adapter. Now, when I crimped those press fittings onto the pipe down line, it seemed to turn that faucet a little bit on the outside. It looks like it turned a little bit. And that female adapter that I put on the male adapter of the faucet is dripping just a little bit. If I go and turn that faucet back to the original position I had it, will that stop that drip?
I don't know. You can try that. Are you using the metal bands, the ones that you crimp the metal bands around the plastic, the PEX fitting?
Yeah, it's a copper press fitting.
The copper press fitting. Oh, yeah, I haven't used specifically those. But usually if that is dripping, there's something in that connection. My experience is even when I've had press fittings on, turning the faucet within that press fitting hasn't caused it to leak any differently, meaning there is some movement in there. I'm not a plumber, but I have done a fair bit of these press fittings, and usually they work pretty good. So I would try it, see if it moves, and if you have to, you know, redo that fitting and just, you know, sometimes they just don't grab the way that they're supposed to, but just cut it off and put in a new and redo it with new fittings. I stay with it. It'll work. They're pretty impressive. I mean, gone are the days, you know, Danny, I think back of all the plumbers used to have real, real labor of the copper with the flux and the soldering of all the pipes. And oh, my word, it was the technology's come so far to make it easy for us to run water lines. And it's easy when you screw up, too. It's easy to cut one out and put in a new piece, and it's cheap, and it's identifiable, usually. The plumbing has come a long way, I can tell you that.
And that's good news. All right.
That's good news.
I want to alert Tom, you're going to be next up on the phone after the break. We're going to have a look at that weather forecast, and we'll have more show to come. So if you have any question, could be about decks, could be about any home improvement question, for Luke Panik, by all means, call us or text us. 651-461-9226 from News Talk A3O. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you if you're just joining us. Denny Gong here along with Luke Panik, deck and port specialist, among other things, with Lindis Construction filling in for Andy Lindis. If you have a deck question, perfect. Or any home improvement question will do for Luke here this morning. Just call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Speaking of phones, Tom calling in from River Falls. Tom, thanks for hanging on. What is your question for Luke?
Well, thank you. And Luke, I was wondering, how do you keep woodpeckers from pecking away at your cedar siding?
Tom, if you could answer that question, you would save a lot of stress in the country. Nobody seems to know how to get rid of woodpeckers. They're looking for that. I've heard from people it's like marking their area. I've heard it's a mating ritual. I really don't know the answer other than they're looking for bugs in your cedar siding. Usually we recommend getting a steel siding or something where obviously it takes away that attractiveness to them. But I really don't know how to get rid of woodpeckers. I wish I did.
We get that question a lot, I think, so many times over the years of doing home improvement for the last 30 years or so, that it'll always come up. Some people have these owls that kind of drop down from some hanger. And some people say the birds get used to that. Some people used to hang up old compact discs that glisten.
Yep.
That glisten. I don't know if that works itself, but yeah, I think in some cases the drumming is kind of a mating thing. In some cases, I hear, like you said, they're looking for food.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. You're right. If you had that answer, you would save a lot of people, like you said, a lot of stress. I don't know the answer.
I had another customer yesterday in Minneapolis at her house, and while we were sitting there, the woodpecker was just going nuts on her house, and she wanted to replace the siding so bad. It was old cedar siding. She's like, I don't care what it is, but I do not want these woodpeckers banging on my, it was annoying. Just while I was sitting there going over the project with her, I was like, I don't have an answer for you other than we need to put up some metal siding for sure. I believe LP has done well with woodpeckers. I have had some people say, yeah, still it came, but the LP siding we use seems to hold up against it. Obviously fiber cement too. Fiber cement has a lot of drawbacks, but woodpeckers don't like that. There are some crazy ones out there. I don't know what they're looking for or what they're hoping to do, but we'll have to have a biologist call in sometime and tell us what's going on if there's another idea.
And they could and can cause a lot of damage. I mean, they could do some major holes in siding, I've seen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll get an expert, an ornithologist or like you said, some other expert in here to give us an answer. 651-461-9226. I'm looking at a bunch of texts that came in. I don't know if we've ever talked about carpet on this show. But this listener wants to know, what's the best carpet for a high-traffic stairway and hallway that will not show traffic patterns and flatten out? Have you ever had to deal with... Yeah.
I know the answer to this one.
You do?
You don't know me as a carpet expert, but I recently became one. This last project I did, I had the same question. I had a staircase going up. This is a rental property, so I wanted it to be extremely durable. And there's some pros and cons. Basically, carpet, when you go to a good carpet store, you're going to see carpets made out of three different fibers. Natural wool, which I didn't know, but you can get wool carpet. You can also get what's nylon carpet and then polyester carpet. The polyester is very soft, but isn't as tough as the nylon. So when you think about nylon, it's the same type of material that they make seatbelts out of, they make carpet out of, and that is the tough stuff. The nylon carpet is where you want to use heavy traffic areas. It is more durable for those high traffic areas. So nylon is the correct answer for this one.
I would imagine, since you've recently become a carpet expert, would you also become a padding expert? What kind of pad would you use under that?
Well, there's different – I'm not an expert, but I can tell you that there's basically three different types of pads. A traditional pad that's like just chopped up foam put into a roll, that's good in a lot of applications. I use the one that had an extra – it's called Guardian. It has an extra layer on it that prevents – pet accidents from going through it. So it doesn't go leach through all the way down into your subfloor. So when you clean your carpet, it's not, obviously when you have a pet accident, it goes through the pad and into the wood or basements, and then how do you clean that? You can't get to it. So they make more waterproof pads to prevent that, and then they make foam ones that are completely more like rubber as well. So those, depending on the situation, if you have pets, using something that has a waterproof barrier to it is a good idea.
How about that? Our first carpet question, and I'm glad you were around to answer it. That's great. Again, 651-461-9226. If you want to call in your home improvement question or send a text. Here is yet another text. I have an 8-year-old home with an unfinished basement and a concern about moisture behind the plastic barrier and within the insulation on the west and south walls. I see brown spots on the plastic barrier and insulation. The temp in the winter is around 50 degrees with one heat duct and return. Do I have a mold or moisture problem that can be remedied by finishing the basement with proper heating? In August of 2019, hail did damage the siding. It was replaced the following April. What do you think about that, generally speaking now, about the brown spots on that plastic barrier and insulation?
Good. This is a very good question and not an easy one to answer. This is up for debate. And when what we're talking about here is where to locate the vapor barrier in a basement. And not every city sees the same answer or advises the same answer. But generally speaking, the vapor barrier should be on the inside of the room, preventing your humidity from the room getting to your insulation. And if you have a good waterproof exterior on your foundation, then you're preventing the water vapor from coming from the outside to keep that space dry. If you're seeing mold and mildew inside that, somehow humidity is getting in there and condensating on that poly. So it dramatically increases the effect, magnifies the effect when it gets cold because it moves the dew point. As the temperature drops, the dew point causes that to happen quicker, just like the dew point when you get out of the shower in the morning and you see the condensation on the mirror because we've added humidity to the air. The dew point gets created on that mirror. That's what's happening in this case. So what we want to look at is, number one, the outside of that wall, is it above grade or below grade? Because the temperature of the above grade part of the foundation is going to get much colder than the below grade. And you can it shouldn't seem to matter what side of the house. The north side is typically always cooler, of course, because it's in the shade, but that shouldn't be an impact. It should be consistent all the way around. The best way, I think, is to spray foam. So when you take out the fiberglass insulation and put in on an exterior wall, we typically do 3 inches of spray foam. That to me is the best because it's a closed cell foam that doesn't allow it to pass through at all. So my advice is use spray foam. Most cities still require you to put a vapor barrier on it. I don't understand that why, but they still require a vapor barrier and then your sheetrock. That's the best way to do it.
I see a follow-up from that same texter said it's above grade.
Above grade. So extra, that's where it makes it even tougher to handle. So I would spray foam anything above grade to make sure that it doesn't lead to more condensation problems.
Just looking at a text, texter says, is it a must to get stucco inspected before we sell our house?
No, I don't know that it's a must. It might be a perk for a buyer to look at that and see that the stucco is up. There's a lot of, obviously, worries, concerns from back in the 90s when we had all those issues with stucco homes and water infiltration. It might help give those people confidence when they're buying a stucco house. I don't think it's a must, however.
There's a fan of metal siding. Rick is the texter and says, I have metal siding, have never had a problem, and it's currently 65 years old and looks like new. I know Andy and, of course, Kevin Lindis has always been a fan of metal siding. What do you think about steel siding?
I think it's the workhorse of our industry.
it doesn't look, its only drawback is it doesn't look quite as natural as like LP Smart Side, is we're trying to replicate the look of clapboard siding. But if you like the look of steel siding and the double four or double five pattern, that is the most durable, long-lasting siding I think you can get. And one of the reasons is you can put a whole different level of finish on steel siding than you can on any sort of natural wood product. So the coatings that you can put on it are superior for color longevity. It's just like a metal roofing. You think about how good a paint coating's got to be on a metal roof to hold up to what happens to a metal roof where we live. It's the same with siding. So there's steel siding is a fantastic product, no question about it.
Is it just a comment, not a question, before we take a quick break? Listener says, woodpeckers could punch through the cedar walls and allow rodents inside your house. Never thought about that. They can get it in the smallest areas. So thanks for that. We'll take a quick break. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, you still have time. Could be about decks, could be about anything. Call us or text us. Luke Panik in for Andy today, 651-461-9226. From Newstalk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to your home improvement show. We are here every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour on CCO, thanks to Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. You know what I haven't done? First of all, I want to mention Luke Panik in for Andy Lindus today. And Luke, for those that maybe want to get in touch with you, maybe they want a new deck, a porch, new siding, new windows, maybe those great leaf guard gutters, GAF, those great shingles. Oh, my goodness. All these great products, the easiest number to remember is 844-9-LINDUS, L-I-N-D-U-S, 844-9-LINDUS. Call them this coming week if you have a project in mind. And right, Luke, that first visit, whatever the project in mind, is always free.
It is. We'll give you some time and talk about your project, and there's no cost to that.
Yeah,
there's absolutely no cost at all.
Yeah. All right, we have texters. To help out here, here's one that just came in, too. Texter says, we have light mold on the north side of our house due to the trees we once had there. The siding is vinyl. Does Lindus or who would you recommend to clean that off? Does Lindus clean off vinyl siding?
Well, you know, for years, no, we didn't. Now we do offer a home maintenance program, so that is something people can sign up for. I know Andy's talked about it, where we come out and we help do oddball projects like that for, you know, it's a great service. We come out, and that may be one thing we do. We also take a look at the caulking, what needs to be touched up here and there. So, yeah, we can help. Just call in our office and sign up for our home maintenance program.
Yeah, that I think is a tremendous idea, that whole maintenance program with Lindus. Great idea. Speaking of power washing, we talk about that from time to time. And a listener wants to do that, but you got to be careful, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You need to know what you're doing. Always start at a distance and work your way gradually closer. And depending on what you're washing, whether it's soft, you know, cedar wood or if it's steel siding, you know, just be careful with it. But a lot of fun can be had with a pressure washer, for sure. It's very rewarding to clean up the house.
Yeah.
I need to do it myself. I've got spider webs on my house that I need to wash off my LP siding. I don't know where they come from, but they really like my house, and they build these little nests everywhere. And a power washer seems to be the best way to get rid of them.
I have to do my driveway yet. I haven't done that yet before the snow falls. We get the leaves off first, and then work on that. A texter wants to know an interesting question about chimney sweeps. I'll kind of cut to the chase there. They have a wood-burning fireplace, and it's been recommended to them that they should have it cleaned. Do you think it's a good idea, and how exactly is that done? Have you ever had that done, Luke?
I have not. I've never owned a home with a wood-burning fireplace. It's something that should be looked at and maintained. Of course, the concern is the creosote buildup and having a chimney fire. So especially older ones, old masonry chimneys, things like that should be looked at and cleaned and inspected. I know at my parents' house, they had a guy come in and he drops a camera down and inspects
It should be that way with a camera that has a light on it. So there's a lot of experts out there that do that and can make you feel good and warm and fuzzy about your fireplace and not worry about a chimney fire. So that's a good thing to do. And yes, it should be maintained regularly.
What about, I'm looking at another one. They're asking various questions, but one specifically I think is important for this time of year is about HVAC. Those are my words. Maintenance. What is a good thing to do as we prepare for winter in this part of the country as far as our heating components?
Yeah, an annual inspection is a good idea, especially for furnaces that are more than 5 or 10 years old. Having an annual inspection this time of year is a good thing. I put reminders on my cell phone for all of my, you know, my home and the cabins that I have to change out the filter. The furnace filters need to be regularly changed. I try to do them at least 2 or 3 times a year, change out the filter, because if you pull that filter out, you're like, oh my word, this was going through my house. You need to keep those filters clean so you get nice fresh air coming through there and it doesn't restrict the flow of air. So those are two easy things to do. Have it inspected by a professional, and then change your filter regularly, just like the batteries in your smoke detectors.
That's another thing this time of year around Halloween, right? The people who are not, if the stuff is not hardwired, to change the batteries in your smoke or CO detectors, right? I don't even know if CO detectors are battery powered. Usually they're plugged in, but maybe battery backup, I suppose.
Yep, they usually have battery backups, yep.
Yeah, good to do. Texter, we always have smart listeners all the time, but they always give us some hints, too. For the person with mold on their north side, this texter says, I've had that problem in the past, and I used wet and forget and had outstanding results. Sometimes it takes 2 times, but it works great. Have you ever heard of that product?
I have not. I don't know what wet and forget is, but I assume it's a cleaner that has some maybe bleach or TSP in it or something that,
Well, here's a time, timely one that came in, probably because of our discussion about keeping the chimney clean. The question is duct cleaning. What do they do, and is it worth it? I've heard both positive and negative, Texter says. What have you heard?
I from what I know, it's a great idea. You know, you think about all that air that gets sucked into your furnace and all the dust and stuff. It all goes through those ducts. I don't know how they clean them, but I know it's a good thing to do. There are companies that offer that. I think it's a great idea. I've never done it or hired a company to do it, but I think that you just know that there's got to be plenty of buildup and grime on the walls of those round ducts and the square ducts. It can only help and clean your air and make it more efficient by doing that. So I think it's a great idea.
Another thing I've been thinking about, I know we've got about a minute or so to go here, is doing a similar vacuuming or blower. Back in years ago, I had a dryer, clothes dryer, that I could put my leaf blower in a certain part and blow out the,
really?
The lint. Yeah.
Okay.
But this has a different configuration, so I can't do it. I got to figure out maybe just to do some kind of vacuuming, but I have not solved that problem yet. Luke, what would you suggest folks who want, I know we've got about a minute or so to go, who want specifically a deck, and they want Linda's to do it. What do you suggest they do?
Just give us a call. We've got a lot of deck professionals now. It's not just me. We've got a lot of good deck professionals that can help people, whether it's completely replacing a deck or modifying it or changing it or taking a deck and maybe making it into a porch. We have all kinds of professionals that come out and give you ideas and help you.
One I did not get to, speaking of decks, is cleaning it. This texter, he or she, moved into a new house recently. They don't know what brand of deck, but that needs cleaning. What would you recommend? We get that a lot. How do you clean quickly a low-maintenance deck?
Every big box store has a cleaning section by the stains and paints where they'll have different products there available. To just go in there and talk with someone and about which one they recommend. These solutions are typically pre-mixed and ready to go. Spray them on and give it a clean. So not a difficult product to find. It's available.
Luke, always a pleasure. Thanks for all the help today.
Thank you, Denny. Take care.
Man. Luke Panic, deck and port specialist with Lindus. Yeah, give him a call this coming week if you have any project in mind. 844-9-LINDUS. Denny Long, thanking you for your company today. Ryan Purpich, thank you for producing this. We'll see you back here next week on 830-WCCO.